All right, let's kick off with the legal side of this conversation. Tanya Muller is COO and attorney of the Alliance of the South African Independent Practitioners Association. Tanya, welcome to Breakfast with Refulia. Please help us understand this latest ruling. Good morning.
Good morning. So it's a solidarity trade union together with ASADBA submitted an application in terms of section 172, subsection 1 of the Constitution. We as applicants seek an order declaring section 56 to 40 of the Health Act invalid. These provisions in the Health Act establish a regulatory certificate of need, and every healthcare establishment and agency and healthcare personnel providing and prescribing health services must obtain a CON to be able to conduct any health services within our country. So actually just what it says is that the Act forces healthcare practitioners to obtain a certificate from the Department of Health before they could establish and practice in a specific area in South Africa.
And so, sorry, is that not a way of managing supply and demand, or what part of, how is that unconstitutional, if you can help me understand, Tanya?
So the application to the High Court was seeking and declaring the unconstitutional of the following areas of the to make it unjustifiable is that section 21 guarantees that everyone has the right to freedom. So we cannot enforce anything that to infringe that right. And also section 22, which guarantees that every citizen has the freedom to choice to trade within a country. So that was our main basis with our applications to make sure, as well as Section 10 of the Constitution, which provides that everyone has inherent human integrity and dignity. So that was our main pillars of our application to make sure that we do declare that unconstitutional at all times.
Just talk to me like I'm 5 years old, Tanya. Okay.
Yes.
So in plain English, what you're saying to me is I no longer need a certificate of permission from the Department of Health if I want to, say, open a surgery in Dar.
That's correct.
Okay.
So basically what they wanted to do from their side, the Minister of Health as well as our President, was get any professionals and also push them into an area to conduct medical service.
So
that from our side as an association is it's pushing our medical professionals actually in an area that they want, they do not in certain areas, in rural areas, want to go and practice because of infrastructures and all of that. So yes, that was our application.
Yeah, this is what I'm worried about. Dr. Strawn is on the line. Dr. Simon Strawn, help us understand here, because I would be incentivized. I've got student loans. I spent 7 years studying this thing. I want to go to Sandton. I want to do boob jobs. I don't want to do general basic health in, like, I don't know, Maclear in Eastern Cape. I want to earn where I can earn. Isn't the idea behind the certificate of need, Dr. Strawn, an attempt for us to manage, ensure that good healthcare is provided for the majority, for the bulk of the population?
Yeah, good morning. I represent the South African Private Practitioners Forum, which predominantly represents specialists and optometrists.
Okay.
So you are right. I mean, one must understand that by bringing this application, one is not trying to be obstructive. We are actually we are fully aware of the inequity and we are fully aware of the need for universal healthcare. But is the answer to putting healthcare providers or having healthcare providers work in areas where healthcare services may be less available than others? Is it the stick approach where this certificate of need that has been on the statute book since 2003, it already was, there was a march to Parliament in the 2000s against the certificate of need. The reason it has raised its head again now is because there were draft regulations published last year that made us all sit up and take a look. And for example, as you were saying, talk basic here. You've been in practice for 25 years in a particular area. You will now have to apply for a certificate of need. It is the Director General of Health who will determine whether you have get that certificate or not.
Even
you
after
as
practicing.
You as a practitioner have to get into the debate around that and provide the data around the impact study that you've performed. And if you are an existing healthcare practitioner in a practice, your license will only be for 3 years.
Sure.
So at any point then, you may be, a license may not be granted, and you therefore may not be able to work in that area. Now, here's the crux. There is no compensation for that. And there is no movement. There is no mechanism to point you in a direction and say, right, but don't worry, we've got a post for you over here. Or how about working up? No. That's it. The license says you may not work here. It doesn't say you have to go and work somewhere else or we have a post for you. And therein lies the real issue. So, and when you're doing it this way, when you're looking at a specific area and say, oh, we have too many of those people over there, too many of that breed of healthcare practitioner work, whatever it is, by what standard are you judging that there sure. are too many? You know, if you're going to spread those across the country, you get a very thin layer. So there are definitely mechanisms that we need to come up with, which we can discuss at some point yes. around how better ways to do it. But this certificate of need is not such. And the fact that the NHI may now be more difficult to implement because one of the cornerstones of the NHI was a certificate of need.
Mm.
Well, it's been declared unconstitutional. It's not some willy-nilly decision that's been made. Obviously, we must be aware that this decision about unconstitutionality of Section 36 to 40 still now have to go to the Constitutional Court and be ratified by the Constitutional Court, number one. And number two, that the application at the High Court was unopposed by the government in all spheres. The reasons for that are not known to us, but they may now come and oppose it at this juncture. And we will just have to watch the space.
Dr. Strawn, Tanya, help me out here because very interesting development. It has its own knock-on effect, right? So I have two questions. One for Tanya, one for you, Dr. Strawn. Tanya, surely, like any other business, a spaza shop, you know, if 17 of us are selling chicken feet in this neighborhood, one of us is, at least 16 of us have to close up shop, right? So like any other business, surely I will be driven out by being unable to price, being unable to practice because there are too many of us. Why does medicine, because what the first question I asked Dr. Strawn was about, you know, maybe cities not having available medical health care, but you know, eventually, if we oversupply, we will naturally have to move, right?
That is correct, but I think that is where your choice of trading comes in, and that is your constitution, that you have the right to still have that choice where you want to conduct your business and proceed with your trade. So I think that is where Section 22 is very important, and that was one of our fundamentals with our application, is that any person, if you are selling chicken, do have that freedom of choice to then choose where you want to trade. So that is so, so important to understand and keep to that. We know that there is need in rural areas, and we do understand that. But then we need to look at the other side, rather looking at improving infrastructures to make it more favorable for those doctors to actually go and conduct and service, medical service, to the best interest of their patients.
And
rather than look from the other side. And yes, Section 22 is very important.
Yeah, and to Dr. Strawn's point, I mean, at least compensate me for doing this research. Dr.
Exactly.
Strawn, the unintended consequences, of course, must have far-reaching implications in terms of the desirability of actually operating in South Africa for the average qualified doctor. Or does this court ruling, in your opinion, make it a little bit more attractive to stay?
No, I don't think it makes it. I think that if this ruling had gone through and had been promulgated into law, I think it would have had, as you said, huge knock-on effects. We certainly would have heard of people making plans to move, whether they do or don't, time will tell. But we know over the years that there are many other reasons why people would leave if they had to.
Mm.
But yeah, I think the point is that this is unconstitutional. It's not saying we don't need a mechanism.
Yes.
We do need a mechanism. You know, we have community service. We all healthcare providers go and work for a year, and they do get sent into some rural and some far-flung rural areas for a year. But after experiencing that, not enough are going back again.
Yeah.
No, it is. Populations in the metropole, things happen in the metropole.
Mm.
And if we want people to go into the rural areas, well, we either need to incentivize them somehow. Unfortunately, this is a discussion way beyond just the medical facility. Mm-hmm. It's around applying the infrastructure where a family can go into a rural area and settle down.
Sure.
Where children can grow and children go, you know, it's that deal. But there are mechanisms where we may well be able to get healthcare providers to go into rural areas where they don't necessarily have to go and stay. I've certainly had discussions previously where we can talk about rotational services from practices in the private sector where they may go out and help in rural areas and do sessions, et cetera, et cetera. So there are other mechanisms, but this particular mechanism, and people have said, but what about the rights of the people in rural areas to healthcare? Correct. And that's why we're saying the mechanism is unconstitutional. We still need another mechanism, but equally people who currently enjoy healthcare by whatever mechanism in their metropolitan area, they have a right to retain their healthcare and not to have that diluted out. So it is a difficult discussion. The Constitutional Court will give their ruling. We are pleased at this point that something that's been on the statute books for 20 years has now eventually come to a head. And we've responded proactively to it. I think it's a good move for healthcare. It's highlighting something that needs a lot of discussion. And our intention is to get as many people who have a sense of this and who can sit and talk about it unemotionally at a leadership level together, and let's try and solve for this.
All right, then. Dr. Simon Strawn is the South African Private Practitioners Forum CEO. Tanya Muller, thank you so much for your perspectives as well. COO and attorney at the Alliance of SA Independent Practitioners Association, giving us the legal perspective on this. Lots for us to talk about. Thank you both for joining us this morning.